Good morning. Welcome to Shepherd Drive. We're so glad that you're able to be with us this morning for virtual church. We so miss being together and we look forward to the time when we can be back here all together. But until then, we hope you'll feel really welcome with us.
And can we encourage you to access the service using the service playlist on the website? If you go to the homepage, you'll see a box there with a virtual service. If you click on that, it will do all the hard work for you. And do take a bit of time to look at our church website. As you do that, you'll see two things. Firstly, that our aim as a church is to share the word of God and the love of God and to introduce people to Jesus. And secondly, that we're a group of people from all different backgrounds and countries and situations, but united by what we believe to be most important, and that is knowing Jesus personally and living for him.
Everybody is welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Take care.
Well, good morning. My name's Gary, and it's my privilege and job today to welcome you to our virtual church service here at Shepherd Drive Baptist Church. I'll be leading us through the first part of our service this morning, and then one of our ministers, Simon, will bring us a message from God's Word, the Bible, a little later on. For those of you who perhaps didn't know, following the government's announcement just before Christmas that Suffolk was moving from Tier 2 to Tier 4 as far as COVID regulations were concerned, we have decided as a church not to meet physically today, that's December the 27th, or next Sunday, January the 3rd. This is just to allow us a little time to take some consideration, consider the risks, and prayerfully make decisions as a church into what we should and shouldn't do going forward. For those of you on our distribution list, you'll receive updates confirming this. If not, please visit our website at www.sdbc.org.uk, where we'll keep you up to date there as well. Well, our first song this morning reminds us how the angels lit the sky up over Bethlehem and brought the good news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest. Peace to men, all earth. Come and adore him with wonder, Christ, Lord of heaven and earth. Our first song this morning is Glorious Light. Well, this morning we continue our Christmas series, which is titled Into the Light. Simon will bring us the main reading later, just before he brings us the message from God's Word. Well, I'm going to dip into the passage just before that now and bring you some more words from Luke chapter 2. So please read with me, if you will, from Luke chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 15. This is the word of God. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel, even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offer the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Before we pass to Simon and he preaches to us, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the kept promise. And we thank you for the amazement of Emmanuel, you with us, 100% God, 100% man, the true mystery of Christmas. Lord, may we never ever cease to be amazed by that event 2,000 years ago. Lord, may it truly affect our hearts, not just this Christmas, but every day, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we love the Lord Jesus Christ and dedicate our lives to him. Lord, we do pray for this COVID situation, this situation that affects us all. Lord, we pray for governments as they have to make important decisions with such a balance, Lord, between liberty and life, such a balance between business and finance, and the need to stop this disease spreading like wildfire. Lord, we pray for wisdom. Lord, we pray that they may realise it is you in charge, not them, Lord. Lord, may even at this hour they look to you for help. They look to you for guidance as they make important decisions on our behalf. Lord, we do pray for individuals that are affected by this disease, the uncertainty it brings. Lord, we pray for people who spent the first Christmas this week since the death of loved ones, grieving. Lord, please give those people special comfort, Lord. And Lord, may their personal grief not blur their ability to see that there is a loving God who sent Jesus, a loving God who is King of this world, and a loving God who in times of peril we should turn to and not turn our backs on. And Lord, we pray for us as a church. We pray you give us wisdom. We pray you give us strength. That decisions that we make are made, Lord, as you'd have us make them, are made with your hand and not with our minds. And are made, Lord, so glory is brought to you in all we do and how we do it. Lord, we've prayed recently for the Brexit situation, Lord, and we thank you that there does appear to be this beacon of light in a dark situation there, Lord. Lord, again, our prayers are continual and constant. We pray for those in power who make these decisions, but our prayer is that they in turn would turn to you, Lord. They will seek your will. And Lord, in this situation that we're not quite sure what the outfall is going to be, we're not quite sure how it's going to affect us as a country in the days, weeks and months to come. But again, Lord, we pray for your intervention at this time. Lord, we pray for those who particularly struggle to find comfort at this time of year. We mentioned those who are grieving due to COVID. But we know, Lord, that Christmas, for some people, for lonely people, for people who have bad memories of perhaps their families growing up at Christmas, Lord, they just feel discomfort and alienation and fear at this time of year. Lord, we ask that you step into those individual situations. And Lord, we ask you continually challenge us as a church to be there for these people in that community, Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the amount of people we can interact with virtually, with a carol service online on Christmas Eve. Lord, may people have enjoyed the carols, yes, but may people have heard the message. Heard the message that you emptied yourself into this world at this time for each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray that people's hearts are turned to the Lord Jesus Christ through hearing that message that Pete was able to give to several people on Thursday evening. Lord, we pray for ourselves as people go back to work next week, some people who can't go back to work next week. We pray for ourselves in our families. We pray for ourselves in our communities. Lord, we're talking about light. May we be that light that you've called us to be. May we reflect in some way this week the glory and love of the Lord Jesus Christ in what we do and how we do it. And Lord, to that end, we pray as the word is given to us now, that Lord, it truly changes us and it makes us more who you would have us be. Lord, may we praise you. Lord, may we submit to you. And Lord, may we as individuals and as a church become more Christ-like. And we pray these things in the name of our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, before Simon does bring us God's word, we're going to have now a very, very well-known carol. In a book I was reading just before Christmas, the author said, many people think that this carol is the Christmas carol of carol services. Well, his opinion was, it's also the Christian song of Christian songs. A song that reminds us clearly of the wonder of that incarnation and celebrates Jesus as our Emmanuel, God with us. Let's enjoy Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Well, good morning. Can I ask you please to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 25. Let's read the word of God now. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Well, let's pray, and then we'll come to look at God's word in detail. Father, we thank you for these great verses and all that they communicate. Our prayer, Father, is that as we look at them now, that, Lord, you would communicate and speak into our hearts and our minds, reinforce your truth to us, and give us that reminder of the great hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as we now look at your word. And we pray these things in and through his saving name. Amen. There are times when waiting can be a bit trying and a bit of a test. It can be a test of patience when you're in a queue that seems not to be moving. And it can be a source of anxiety if you're waiting for an Amazon delivery to arrive before Christmas. And no, in my case, sadly, it didn't. And time can drag when you're waiting. Perhaps you can remember when you were a child waiting for the days of December to gradually pass until the 25th arrived. And as you open something like Day 10 on your Advent calendar. Christmas Day felt as though it was months away. In other parts of our lives, though, waiting can be, of course, a much more difficult experience, especially when you're waiting for a solution to a problem or waiting perhaps for an operation to alleviate a health issue, to bring an end to pain. Waiting can be very hard if you're longing for a difficult, stressful time to pass, a time of anxiety and turmoil, or even a night of waiting when we can't sleep and we toss and we turn, watching the hours pass by slowly, waiting for dawn to come and the darkness to be lifted, physically and also emotionally. Of course, in the current crisis, we've all lived with a deep sense of waiting for a vaccine, waiting for this restricted way of life to finally come to an end. And of course, for some who've contracted the virus, there are symptoms and side effects that they're waiting and hoping will come to an end very soon. I have to confess that leading up to Friday, I was waiting for my sense of taste to come back, desperately hoping it would be back in time for Christmas dinner. But of course, for so many, the waiting associated with the virus is a much more serious issue. And the stories of those waiting for loved ones to recover and for reunions to finally take place have been very hard to hear. I wonder what it is that you would say you are waiting for at present. Perhaps it's a combination of a number of those things. Perhaps you're waiting for an answer or for a personal crisis to be solved or for a hope to finally be realized. But of course, if you're a Christian, there is a lot that we're waiting for. We're waiting for God's promises to us to be finally and fully kept, for everything that we've put our trust in to be realized, and for all that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ to be fully experienced. And at times the waiting can be difficult, particularly as we live in the waiting room of this broken world and live with its effects that impact us personally. But one of the encouragements of this waiting is that actually it is the normal Christian experience. So often God calls his people to wait for him to bring about his plans and purposes, to wait for him to act in his time and his way, waiting and trusting that God will be true to his word. We see that waiting in the life of so many Bible heroes. We see it in the life of Abraham, who waits for Isaac to be born. We see it in the life of Joseph in Egypt, particularly as he waits for a long time in prison for the butler to remember him. And here in this section of Luke's account, we meet another member of God's waiting people. Just have a look with me at verse 25, where we read, "At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel." And notice that he isn't waiting anxiously. He's waiting confidently to see God keep a great promise to him, the promise that we're told about at the end of verse 25. We read, "The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah." And although we're not actually told how old Simeon is, the implication seems to be that he's had his free bus pass for some time, and he's been waiting many years for this promise to be realized. This is a dark time in Israel's history. It's a dark time politically, economically, and socially, because they are ruled by the Roman Empire. But it's also a dark time spiritually, because the nation at this time, like our nation today, is spiritually at a low ebb. Relatively few people walk with God or have a genuine faith. But Simeon does have genuine faith, and he has been waiting for the time when God's Messiah would come to shine God's light into the darkness of the current situation, for the time when he'll see God keep that amazing promise, and the time when he will meet the Messiah, who is the personification of all God's promises. But today, the time of waiting is over. That is the magnitude of the meeting that is about to take place. And verse 27 tells us, "That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there." As you read that verse, you wonder if on that day the Holy Spirit had to wake him up before his alarm clock went off. Simeon, it's time. Simeon, there's an appointment in the diary you need to keep. Now drink your coffee and get yourself to the temple. But what is clear there is the closeness of the relationship that Simeon had with the Holy Spirit. This was a man who lived his life in communion, in step with God, under the Holy Spirit's daily guidance and direction. It is, of course, what Paul encourages us to develop in Galatians chapter 5, where he writes, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Which, by the way, is a great verse for us to carry into our lives. A great verse to set our direction of travel in 2021, to commit to making next year a year where we walk closely with the Holy Spirit, where we, as it were, plant our feet in his footsteps. And it may be that this is a closeness we need to regain, a closeness that we've lost in all the turbulence and strangeness of 2020. Well, in kindness and grace, the Holy Spirit is always lovingly calling to us, come back to where you once were. Walk with me closely again. Encouraging us to recommit ourselves to keeping in step with him, because it is the path to true peace and to true wholeness as a follower of Jesus. Certainly when it comes to Simeon, that seems to be the kind of daily existence and daily experience that he has, so that as Mary and Joseph walk into the temple, we read Simeon was there. By the way, I wonder what Simeon was expecting. You see, perhaps he thought that he would meet God's Messiah as a man, that he'd see the Messiah walk powerfully into the temple with a kind of entourage, and that Simeon would just come and fall at his feet. But this situation is, of course, very different. Because Simeon not only sees the Messiah, amazingly, he is given the honor of holding the Messiah in his arms. I wonder too whether, as he gazes down at the baby he's holding, that he begins to think through all the promises that are wrapped up in this child. That this is the serpent crusher of Genesis chapter 3. This is the eternal king of 2 Samuel. This is the Son of Man in Daniel chapter 7. And that this is the suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53, who has come to pay the price of humanity's sin as God's great rescuer. And do you see what this moment underlines? Because Simeon certainly does. It underlines what every one of God's people needs to have a firm grasp of, that God is faithful, that God's word is always true, that God's plans will always be realized. Yes, we may have to wait for them to be brought about in God's time, but they will always be accomplished. In Joshua chapter 21, as the book looks back on all that God has done for his people, we read this kind of closing statement. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. And do you see that this scene in Luke chapter 2 is an echo of that, but it also amplifies it? Because yes, firstly, this is God's greatest promise being fulfilled. But secondly, it is also the time for God's salvation to be revealed and for God's light to shine directly into the darkness of the world. You see, in chess terms here, the pawns who have come before are, as it were, being moved to one side here, and the king is being revealed. Because right here and right now, God is bringing about his mega purpose for humanity, and that purpose is salvation, which is what the Christmas accounts emphasize again and again, what Jesus has come to do. Matthew chapter 1, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 1, you will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And of course in Luke chapter 2, with the announcement to the shepherds, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. At present, we live in this dark and difficult time, but it's also a rare time. It's a rare time because across the world, across a world of so many different and diverse needs, currently all of humanity is united by one great need, a need that we're all focused on, the need to be saved from the coronavirus. But in the Christmas accounts, the focus is on a bigger picture, an even greater need that touches and affects every single human being who has ever lived, apart from the unique being, the unique human being in Simeon's arms. And it is the issue of sin. The sin that drives a wedge that creates a gap between us and God, a gap that has damaging effects in this life, but that has devastating effects in the eternal life to come. Because the issue of our sin, our wrongdoing, which at its core is a choice, it's a choice to shut God out of our lives, to self-distance ourselves from God, is a choice in this life that results in us being eternally separated from God in the next, in an eternity of total darkness, of absolute despair. Because to be separated from God is to be separated from all that is good. And to be separated from his light and life means logically that we will be left in darkness. And that outcome shouldn't surprise us. You see, God simply confirms the choice we make in this life and carries it over into the next. It is as though he says to us, okay, if that is what you choose to experience now, then that is what you will also experience in eternity. But God does that with a heavy heart. It isn't what he wants for us, which is why at Christmas time, he sends his son into the world to rescue us from that future, to create a way for our sin to be forgiven and for our broken relationship with God to be repaired. And when we understand that fully, we suddenly see why Simeon here is so excited, because in his arms he holds the answer to humanity's greatest need. He holds the one who will make that salvation possible, whose light will reach people in spiritual darkness and illuminate the way into God's kingdom. You might remember in 2018, there was that situation in Thailand involving a group of young boys who traveled deep underground to reach a famous cave, but who then sadly became trapped deep underground in darkness. And then that rescue mission was initiated with divers going down deep into the tunnels of that cavern to reach and to rescue them. And the first thing they did was then, that when they found them, was to shine their searchlights, was to illuminate their darkness so that they could then follow that light to safety. And Simeon sees here that Jesus has come on a similar but infinitely greater rescue mission, a spiritual rescue mission, to reach human beings where they are, trapped in the dark tunnel of their sin, unable to save themselves. And so he comes to seek out and to save lost people, and then to lead them out of spiritual darkness and back into the light of a real and right relationship with God. A rescue that he will ultimately achieve through the cross, which is the scene that Simeon is looking ahead to, actually, in verse 35, when he says, "And a sword will pierce your very soul." But of course, as we look at that crucifixion scene, it is that darkest day of the cross where darkness will fall on Jerusalem that will actually bring saving light to human beings. And Simeon sees that this isn't just a rescuer who will bring light to the people of Israel, but verse 32, he is a light to reveal God to the nations. That Jesus will be light for all nations, for all people, for all countries. Nations who've lived in deep spiritual darkness without ever knowing the one true God. But Jesus will come to make him known to them. The people walking in darkness will see a great light. And of course, we have the privilege today of seeing how that promise has been fulfilled right across the world. And amazingly, that light bringer is the Creator who said, "Let there be light," at the beginning of time, but who now brings that light in person as God with us. And God with us in a way that the people of Israel could never have imagined, which is particularly poignant when we realize where this scene with Simeon takes place, that it takes place in the temple, in the place with all its rituals and restrictions and limited access to the Holy of Holies, which constantly underline that sinful people could not come close to God. But here in this scene in Luke chapter 2, we see that this holy, unapproachable God who is worshipped in the temple they're standing in, has actually come close to them to bridge the gap, to close the distance, to make it possible for human beings to be brought back into an eternal relationship of love with him. Scientists tell us that as we look up at the stars in the night sky now, that the starlight we actually see is light that has traveled over a great distance and over a considerable amount of time to be what we see now. So that every star we see today is light that God planned in the past to shine into our situation now. Well, Simeon sees that God is doing something similar through Jesus at this special time. This is the light that God promised to send centuries before, planned in eternity past to shine into our situation now. And Simeon's joy is complete because he can now say, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation. His time of waiting is over, and his hope has been turned into sight and into certainty. Well, as we pull these various strands together, what I want to suggest is that there are actually a number of parallels between Simeon's situation and our own. Clearly, there are differences. We celebrate Christmas, but we weren't there at the first Christmas, and we haven't met Jesus in the same way. But like Simeon, as God's people today, the truth is that we too are awaiting people living in a dark world. A world where we're surrounded by sin and sin's side effects, by the brokenness it causes in ruined relationships, in fractured families, and by its devastating consequences of disease and death, which have hung over us like a dark cloud this year, haven't they? And also, each one of us will naturally carry around the ache of sin's darkness in some personal way that may be in pain or in illness, or it might be in sadness and heartache, or in the devastating separation that death brings, which so many have sadly experienced in 2020. Well, as we live in this dark world, what is our comfort? What is our hope, our encouragement, and our assurance as we look ahead into 2021 and beyond? Well, do you see that like Simeon, our comfort, hope, and encouragement are the great and sure promises that God has made to us? That one day, like Simeon, but in an even greater way, we will see God's salvation. And when we do, sin's darkness will be lifted forever and sin's side effects will never be experienced again. It is thirdly the future that we are called to wait for. And when will that future become a reality? Well, it will be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again, when he steps into our world again. At the end of time, there will be that moment when suddenly we will also see Jesus coming through the clouds. The moment when all that we have hoped for and trusted in will suddenly be realized. Our waiting will be over, and faith and hope will be turned into sight and certainty. We will see God's salvation, and we will see our Savior. And instead of the doorway that was opened between heaven and earth at Christmas, when the Son of God stepped through for the first time, when Jesus comes again, it will be as though the fabric of the universe will be torn in two. The veil that separates heaven from earth will be totally removed as the invisible suddenly becomes visible. And the Lord Jesus Christ breaks into human history once more. And I guess as we see that unfolding, we will be like the servant of Elisha, who is suddenly able to see all of heaven's armies, chariots of fire, and a sky full of angels as Jesus returns, not as the child in the manger, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the King will come to take his people to his kingdom. Because at this point, heaven won't just break into earth. We will be taken to heaven as God realizes to us every single promise of salvation that he has made. And not one of his promises will he fail to keep. And like a morning sunrise after a dark night, the second coming of the Son of God will mark the dawn of a new time. A time when darkness will be brought to an end forever, never to cloud our existence again. And a time when everything we associate with darkness will also be brought to an end. No more fear, no more loneliness, no more anxiety, no more physical pain, no more emotional heartache, no more sorrow or sadness. There will be no need for vaccines or even the NHS because there will be no more disease or death. And like dirty washing up water being poured away down a sink, all those things will be washed away forever. And in that new perfect future, the new perfect creation that God promises that we will be part of, the book of Revelation tells us that God himself will be our light as we live in his presence. And as we know Emmanuel in an ultimate way, God with us and us with God. And like Simeon, we will see Jesus face to face. What are you waiting for? Well, if you've already turned to Jesus, received his forgiveness and trusted his promise, then this is what you're waiting for. And of course, we long and we look forward to the time when COVID will be under control, when lockdown will be a thing of the past, when the tears we're having to live in and the tears that many people are shedding in loss and loneliness will come to an end. But what we look forward to most is the time when Jesus Christ will come again. As the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." It is the time when Christ will fully and finally bring this world's darkness to an end and take us home. Take us home to experience the eternal, unbroken joy of living in a perfect world, free at last from sin and all its consequences. And that is the hope we hold on to. And it is that hope that is to sustain and stabilize us as we look to the future. On Christmas Day, I guess many young children will have received bikes for Christmas. I can still remember very vividly the nightmare of frantically putting bikes together for Harry and Ben on Christmas Eve in the wee small hours. And we always remembered then to fix on two vital additional parts to their bikes, stabilizers. Because when they often first rode them, they were a little bit unsteady and a bit unsure. And now and again, they'd wobble a bit and veer over to one side. But then what would happen is that they would feel the security of the stabilizers and have the confidence to keep going forward. Well, as God's people today, there are two things that are to stabilize and assure us, particularly in dark and difficult times. Firstly, the eternal hope of God's promises. But secondly, also, the continuing presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who assures us that he will be with us through every up and down we face, supporting and strengthening and stabilizing us when we struggle or wobble. And most importantly, to bringing us safely to the future he has prepared for us. And it is those stabilizing realities that God calls us to put our trust in, moving forward in confidence, but also in joy. Remembering that the great guarantee that Jesus will come again is, of course, that he has come before. Very briefly, two final things as we close. Firstly, just notice too that Simeon shows us how to wait. You see, he isn't just a character in the Christmas accounts. He's actually a model for us to follow of how to wait in faith. A man who Luke tells us in verse 25 was righteous and devout. In other words, he was a man who loved God wholeheartedly and who lived for him faithfully, trusting in God's promises for the future and living in step with the Holy Spirit. And his example underlines that it isn't just the waiting that's important. It also matters how we wait. And God calls us to wait like Simeon, in trusting faith, but also in active faith, a faith that reaches out to those in darkness. And secondly, if you're not yet a Christian, if you're not sure that the future I've been talking about will be the future that you will be part of, then can I ask the question we've been thinking about, but in a slightly different way? What are you waiting for? You see, this is the future you can be part of. This is the confidence and peace you can know for yourself. The problem is, not everyone does know it because they turn away from Jesus. They maintain their self-distance. They refuse to live under his loving authority. And at the end of time, how you've responded to Jesus will be the issue which will divide the human race into two sides. That is what Simeon is referring to in his kind of unsettling statement in verse 34 when he says, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And the question is, which side will you be on? When Jesus returns, will you rise to welcome him in joy? Or will you suddenly realize that you've made the most catastrophic decision that it is possible to make and fall forever? Well, let me encourage you to turn to Jesus today, to put your future in his hands, knowing that in his hands it is a future that is safe and secure. That it is a future of eternal life and eternal light. Well, let's take a few moments just to reflect on God's word to us this morning. Let's take that time now. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your immense love that sent your one and only Son into this world to rescue us from darkness and sin and make it possible for us to come back to you. Father, we pray that this is a Savior we will all come to know and that we will place our future in his hands and that by doing so, we will live in dark and difficult times in confidence and security, knowing that our future is secure. And we ask these things through the saving name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to close our time by singing a great hymn, The Promise of the Ages.